Star Wars Survival Guide, Episode 7, The Podcast Awakens. This is your essential guide to surviving as a fan of that galaxy far, far away. Everybody, welcome back. Indiana Jim here, your host for the Star Wars Survival Guide. Today on the show, we will be talking about Star Wars Battlefront. It has basically worked out this week that the comics episode will be pushed back to next week. Today, I'm talking Battlefront. And the reason why now and why not when it was released, because the same thing with Force Awakens. I feel like this is time that I've had an opportunity to really absorb the game, really understand what they're doing with it over at DICE and EA Star Wars, and able to give a reasonable accounting for what I feel about this game. And first of all, let me just say, if you would like to get in touch with the show, you can email the show at survivalguide@adventuresofindianajim.net with your comments, and of course, visit the site there and click on the logo for the Survival Guide, and you'll be able to leave your comment on the blog. Well, to begin with, on Battlefront, we have to take a look at the previous games, and I think I did discuss this a little bit at the beginning of the show's run so far, episode 1 or 2. Or 3, whatever. The thing about Battlefront, number one, was, and I don't really remember the first Battlefront, but with Battlefront 2, people are complaining, or have been complaining since this game launched, that there's no story mode, that there's no campaign, that there's not enough in the single player. And for, you know, on one hand, they are correct. The single-player game is very limited. There's very little there. And initially, now, SOCOM Confrontation was the first on the PlayStation to really kind of say, hey, we're an online game. This is online multiplayer. That's what you're getting with this game. And it was played a lot. Now, there were issues with that game, but not a lot of SOCOM fans were complaining that, oh, there's no campaign, because it... the biggest draw for SOCOM was online. That was Sony's biggest online community, most active online community was on SOCOM. So this was never intended to be one of those first-person experiential shooter-type games. It is a third-person shooter intended for online play, period. That was all it was ever intended for. And one of the things that people didn't realize is that to have a campaign in the Star Wars universe, it has to fit within the story group's canon, basically. It can't have a story that doesn't fit in. Now, could they have come up with something? Sure, but it takes a lot more resources to delve into that single-player campaign than probably they were willing to spend. And they put a lot more of their resources into R&D for all the scanning of props and giving it everything that authentic Star Wars look, that down to the inch kind of thing, down to the millimeter sort of accuracy as far as the guns were concerned, the armor, the ships, everything, you know, had to be exacting. And, you know, that far too few people are willing to commend DICE for how much work they went into for this game. I think anyone who's played Battlefield and prefers it over Call of Duty understands why, because there is a greater sense of realism to Battlefield. The way things look, the way things animate, the way things go on that game is far more realistic than any of the Call of Duty junk that's out there. And Call of Duty is doing a real good job with their campaigns. Their campaigns are very engaging. They're very well written and good stuff. And but then you've got the online multiplayer. That's what most people do with a shooter, is they want to play online competitively with other people. you don't really see in the shooting space, you don't see that Destiny type deal. And now we have the Division out there, that RPG shooter, that, you know, upgrade everything to the hilt. You have all kinds of customization options. You don't get that in Battlefront. And the key for Battlefront, it's not about all of that. It never was intended to be about all of that customizable, upgradable detail. This is intended for the casual market to get in and play in the Star Wars universe with their friends, go play Heroes versus Villains and be Luke Skywalker and be Darth Vader and be Boba Fett and be Han Solo and be these people for a while, and then, you know, call it a day. It's not really, you know, you don't need to worry so much about your kill-death ratio. It doesn't mean anything in this game. In the SOCOM games, it did mean something because you had not only your rank, which was based on your experience, but you also had a rating. And the better your kill-to-death ratio, the better your winning percentage, the more premium there was on your rating. And when you got into a round with some people, you had to make sure that you really worked toward a common goal together. So from the beginning, I accepted the Battlefront game for what it was. It was Star Wars immersion, and that was it. It's not about being this great, phenomenal game. They weren't going for winning Game of the Year awards. You know, that's probably going to go to the Division. This game is not grindy. There's a little bit of a grind to it, but to get your upgrades. Now, the HUT contracts have a little bit more of the grind flavor to it. You got to do getting certain accomplishments to actually fulfill the contract and get your reward, which I think I like that better than just accruing credits and buying stuff. And a lot of people complain, well, you know, you can only buy so many things. But the thing I like about it is that it's equal. Like, it's based on your skill and your ability. It's not based on the fact that you ranked up faster than some other person and got a gun that makes you completely unbalanced, like the Division, where you have a bunch of high-ranking Dark Zone players ganging up on newbies in the Dark Zone and not letting them get their stuff, taking their Dark Zone credits, and basically just owning the Dark Zone. In Battlefront, you don't get that. It's how good you are, it's how good your reflexes are, how quick your mind works, and it's all based on your individual skill as a player, not the skill of your character that you've upgraded. And I actually kind of like that. I prefer that because it's more casual. You know, you're not, if you lose, it's not because it's unfair and they played longer than you and they got stuff you didn't and somebody's, you know, jerking around with the system that's in place and finding workarounds and loopholes and these kinds of things to take advantage of other players. It's you just didn't do good that day, or, you know, you're tired, or you're just not feeling it, and somebody else was feeling it better than you. And there's something ultimately acceptable about that. You know, it's like there's not anything any developer can do to make you a better player. There are things that developers can do to limit abuse of the system. So that's a big difference for me. Now, a lot of people, of course, complain that, oh, you pay $60 for the game, and then you got to buy, you know, pay $50 for the season pass, or EA gouges you for these add-ons, and yada, 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 yada. And the simple point is, you are paying people for a product, and they did a whole lot of work to deliver that initial product with four different worlds, a few different maps and modes on each thing, the Star Wars authenticity, the ease of access, the accessibility of it, that any new player could get on there and just go. And no, there was no story mode, but who says that the story mode has to be the thing that's worth $60? You know, you ultimately decide what's worth $60 for you. And nobody's forcing anybody to buy this game. There was plenty of information out there. There was never any indication there would be a campaign or a story or any of that. It was intended for online play, and that was clear from the outset. So, you know, if people have buyer's remorse, it's their own fault, actually. So now with the season pass, you know, you pay $50. These DLCs that they came out with, whole new, like the Outer Rim, two whole, maybe three different maps, three different modes, I think. It wasn't three. It was one new mode, the extraction mode. Then you have these new maps, and they're much better. They're much more creative and clever in the way they flow. And the Jabba's Palace is amazing as far as a maze, you know, and these tight corners and close quarters and all of this stuff that makes it a much more engaging map. So four new maps, a new mode, three new star cards, and the Hutt contracts and all that. So, you know, that someone would have paid $15 for it. $15 almost for, you know, what you would easily say would be, you know, a one quarter of a game. I mean, it's easily one quarter of a game's worth. And you pay 50, you get everything. You get each one for each DLC for, I don't know what it is, what it amounts to. I don't do math well. But anyway, I know that if you bought them separately, you'd end up paying more. You'd end up paying 60 rather than 50 for all of them, plus all the other stuff you get. You know, you do get it 2 weeks early. And then they have been releasing free stuff as well. Not everything has been paid for. I mean, nobody had to pay to get the Mandalorian strength trait card, or, you know, little things here and there that looks like they're going to start adding more. They've already announced that they're adding two more heroes than they initially intended. They initially intended to have six. Now they've announced that they're going to have eight, which is cool. You know, first it was, I mean, per side. It was six initially anyway. So, and now it's eight in total. And then, you know, I think it's going to end up being quite a few for for everybody. But, you know, two new ones coming in the next DLC, and then two more after that, and probably two more after that. So it's going to be a pretty good selection of heroes and villains, I think, once it's all said and done. And so with the Outer Rim DLC, you know, it started to really adds a lot more to the game. Hopefully they're going to be, you know, they do have a medley mode now for like 40 player modes, like Walker Assault and Supremacy. And then they have like a 12 player mode medley for Droid Run and Blast and some of these others. So that's good to see. They have a medley right now for the Outer Rim, and hopefully that stuff will be mixed in with the regular content at some point. Because this thing you can do on Battlefield, if you had bought the extra packs, I mean, you get the extra maps and the medleys and everything else. You can play all the original plus the new stuff together. So I don't know if it's Outer Rim is going to always be separate, and then Bespin is going to be separate, and then all of this stuff, because, you know, the game ought to be able to figure out who has the DLC and who doesn't, and who they're going to, you know, match up. And if you have the DLC, you get in this medley, and if you don't, you're in the other. I think they can make that work, but anyway, it's good to see that they are listening to what the community is saying. They are making some changes, I know, and adjustments based on the feedback that they're getting. So they are actually listening. They did say that there's going to be new stuff coming for the offline game that is supposed to make other people, you know, maybe happier. I wouldn't mind being able to run with some AI, but at the same time, I feel like the human component adds a lot more variables. That's the thing about Battlefront 2. I had brought that up because I really got honestly bored with it after a while. It became the same old game. It was like either way too hard or way too easy. And I would go in and maybe guard one of the control points or whatever. And then the rest of your team would do the work, and it would kind of balance out and sort of say, yes, you win, no, you didn't. You didn't really have that much say over whether your team won on the Galactic Conquest or not. You just went in there and did your best, and the computer won or you won, and it didn't really seem based on your own individual skill, because there's just too much for one player to cover on each individual map in the game. And there wasn't that many modes in Battlefront 2. So, you know, it's not really, a lot of people I think are hanging on to this nostalgia of what Battlefront 2 was, but the real fun for me and for most people that play these games is the online competitive angle. Now, could they do a little more? I think they could with like community leaderboard type stuff. You know, make it a little more, give a little more prestige to the better players and this recognition for the better players. I also think some form of team chat would be beneficial, but most people disagree with me. They don't want to hear other people doing mic spam. And see, this makes me wonder if they couldn't really take a page from SOCOM, had a really active community, and give it a section with no respawn rooms where you can go in and play Blast and it's basically, you know, to the last man standing. And it's not a respawn for a timer. It's not a respawn for number of kills. Like, if you die, you die, and that puts it at a premium. And if they did that and they added a team chat, that gives it a lot more of a tactical feel. And, you know, you'd have to post certain people at certain positions, and you have to really play the objective and play the tactics. That would be something that I would like to see. And I know they're probably not going to go that route. Most games these days, it doesn't seem like nobody wants to play those rooms anymore. But that was the thing that set SOCOM apart until they started adding respawn maps to the confrontation in SOCOM 4. Then, you know, they almost completely got rid of it. It started to become a ghetto of people, you know, not really caring for the no respawn rooms. But really, it just made a much better, I thought, experience, because you really had to work for what you were getting. You had to be careful. You had to be smart. And I don't feel like it has that. So, I mean, that's a drawback for me, but it's not a drawback for a lot of people who basically respawn is the thing. I mean, that's how it is. Call of Duty has made that the case. And, you know, no slight against Call of Duty. They're basically giving it to the market what the market wants. And so as far as, you know, compared to other Star Wars games, I mean, Battlefront is more fun for me than anything right now. It's more fun than Madden. I used to play Madden and NBA and all these sports games all the time. But sports has kind of lost its appeal for me. And right now, you know, Star Wars is it. So Battlefront, I feel like, is taking shape to be a really, really good game. And, you know, I'm really excited, actually, to see what they come up with the lady that was at Naughty Dog, who oversaw a lot of the Uncharted stuff, has gone over to Visceral, where she's working on a new Star Wars game, which is supposed to be more like that campaign mode story type game. And that should be interesting to see. I can't wait to see stuff revealed about that. And I'm looking forward to that. But right now, you know, I like getting there and mixing it up. Now, when you get to your level cap on Battlefront, it does start to get a little bit tedious. So I think the biggest key is finding friends to play with and finding people who share the enjoyment, and just, you know, you can hang out and you can talk and you can strategize. You know, if you can get enough friends to be tactical in your play, at that point, it necessitates being part of a clan and a whole group of people. So that could be a drawback for a lot of people there. And it's just not having that mic, not being able to communicate, not being able to say, hey, quit trying to get kills and go for the objective, you know, would be nice. But maybe that's just me. So, I mean, graphically, it's superior to almost anything out there. The animations are great. The sound is great. The mechanics are great. That's the one thing about Battlefield. When they went from Battlefield 3 to Battlefield 4, the mechanics were completely different. Like, just the feel of it was very, very different. And I can't really put my finger on what the difference was. I felt like Battlefield 3 was a little more fluid. Battlefield 4 seemed slower, seemed less responsive, seemed very, very different. But the one thing I noticed about Battlefront was, from the minute I jumped in, was just how easy the mechanics were, how absolutely perfect the mechanics were. They were intuitive. The controls were intuitive. Everything worked the way it was supposed to work. It felt like it was supposed to feel. That really meant something to me. And I really appreciated how good a job they did with the mechanics. The graphics, the mechanics, the sound. You know, the only objection that people can reasonably state is just, oh, there's not enough offline content. Well, you know, that's fine. And you can say that until the cows come home. But now they're going to be releasing some new offline content. It remains to be seen what that is, but at least it appears that they are listening to the community. They're not just taking their money and moving on, like a lot of people accuse EA of doing. The thing about EA is they buy these multi-year licenses. They've got the money to buy these multi-year licenses, and so they can kind of take their time. You know, they don't feel like they have to rush, or they don't feel like they have to make the greatest thing ever and put it out. You know, they don't have that, gosh, we better make this really good or we lose our license. You know, they get a 10-year license to make Star Wars games, and so they can make whatever they want. So there's that. And what I'm curious to see is if they keep the Battlefront as just the initial game and then maybe create new map packs and things down the road that you would pay individually for. So like in the 2017 version of the game, you pay $40 to get the new update, basically, which has all kinds of new content, and they put that in. There is something to be said for the way the market works. Now, if a company says to the developer, we want a game by XYZ, then you make whatever game you can and you get it out by XYZ. And that's why we have the situation where there's always updates and patches and all of these things. And so there is something to be said for that, that, you know, well, they shipped an incomplete game. Well, I don't think it was incomplete. It just wasn't what people expected it to be. And of course, it was with the caveat that, yes, we will be releasing more content as this game goes forward. That's just the world we live in now. There isn't a case where you just buy a game and the game is complete and that's it, and you don't get anything else new on that game until the next game rolls around. You know, you don't buy a cartridge that just you plug in and go and that's it. That's all you got. The world has changed, and it's, you know, it's kind of here to stay. Now, you don't get updates on things like, I don't know, you have a PlayStation All-Stars, whatever, Madden, NBA, whatever, Call of Duty. Well, Call of Duty still has map packs and things. You know, it's very, very rare now to have a game where you don't get new content later, or, you know, it's incomplete, quote unquote. I'm still waiting on the next Mod Nation Racers, but, you know, I could be waiting a long time. But anyway, I think I've basically rambled on enough, taken up enough of your time discussing Battlefront. I think at this point, you know, initially it was kind of, I don't know how it was going to do. And it seems like it's kind of settled into a groove now, where with the Outer Rim DLC, they issued enough different new stuff. It's kind of like, oh, well, maybe this isn't terrible after all. And you look at what's coming down the pike, and as long as they do well with what's coming down the pike, you can say, okay, you know, now this is worth it. Especially if they add some good stuff in the single player modes. I'm still going to be wanting to play online, but if they make it interesting, who knows? You know, if you can do split screen online, that would be great, so my son and I could play together online without worrying about, oh, I need another PS4. So anyway, next week we're going to talk about the comics. I'm going to go back and read up and study up and really kind of delve into the series, different series, and take good notes and really tell you what I think from a story standpoint. So this is me saying sayonara, and may the force be with you.